It's now time for the Weekly Word with Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of the Word Merchant. Joined by Stephen Hines, Professor Stephen Hines of the Word Merchant, energy columnist, a speaker at a lot of colleges. The professor is, as you will, from either Tulsa to Oshkosh. He was just down in Baltimore a week ago at the National Regulatory. So he's kind of like a little bit like me, a little bit, a man about town, and the town is the country, and we pop off to different places to try to see what we can come up with in the world of energy. And I'm very excited this week to talk to Professor Stephen Hines with the Weekly Word to find out what he's hearing and what's on his mind this week. How are you doing today, Professor?
I'm doing really good, Jason. I did mention to you, I'm down in Phoenix for a long Thanksgiving with my adult son and his lady. And I'm sorry to mention, but it's sunny in 82 today, not to rub it in. Anyway, you know, with the vote in Nebraska, I really didn't, we're going to wait and talk about what now will be the Keystone Pipeline and what effect it'll have on North Dakota and Pennsylvania and places next week. I just wanted to sort of talk about what has been going on, certainly on the East Coast. Certainly the Keystone is sort of the most visible, but that is this fighting over pipelines, in spite of the fact that these new pipelines are likely to have better infrastructure and better technology than trains or old pipelines. But somehow it's become a rallying cry for the environmental community. I guess the theory is if they don't have pipelines, they won't look for more gas, which is pretty silly, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, in fact, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, what's your take right now, leading up to this vote?
Well, I guess my take on whether it be pipelines or whether it be just environmentalism, I call it the religion of environmentalism, because it's gotten well beyond a political movement to where people become blindly passionate towards something. And by blindly passionate is they're not thinking. They just they react, you know, like we used to joke, you know, a lot of the the Dakota Access Pipeline protesters, or the Keystone Pipeline protesters for that matter, they show up in SUVs. And they show up in plastics, and they want to get rid of the industry, but yet they use the products every single day. So somewhere in the middle, I think, is where, you know, it was where I'm at. I'm not a catastrophist, so I do understand humans are making a minor impact. I think volcanoes make more of an impact than humans do, but I'm not a catastrophist.
El Niño, really, if you think about it, there's just so many things that volcanoes, as you were saying, but there's we live on a sliver of the world here, and it's a good one though.
You know, but I'd like to just chime in for a second about the different pipelines and that sort of thing, because that's what we kind of started on a little bit, is that obviously there was a spill that happened before they approved the Keystone Pipeline. And, the timing on it couldn't have been worse. It's kind of, to me, it was like the word fracking. That's the worst word possible. But anyway, to me, I understand why the environmentalists are using that as their ammunition. But again, you got to take a step back and say, if you take a look at agriculture, there's major accidents every day. If you take a look at the automobile industry, think about everything that needed to happen with airbags and child safety locks and that sort of thing. The other thing about the oil companies is when things do happen, because they're the first to say we're not batting 1,000, they do repay the landowner and they do compensate where they make mistakes, which I will say very, very confidently, not many other industries will do that.
Well, and certainly the EPA, which I think the damage for the Colorado spill was like $1.2 billion, and I think they gave $1.2 billion, and they gave $1.1 million to the tribes, and I think to one of the states, but that's it. Otherwise, there's no liability on behalf of that agency. Nobody individually was held accountable. So, you know, it's really, there seems like, I want to say hypocritical, but maybe that's a little harsh. Certainly are two different standards.
I think you're right on that. There are two different standards. I mean, I'm taking a look at the big spill in North Dakota up by Tioga, which I believe is still the largest spill in the continental United States. And that was several years ago. And that farmer is not speaking ill about oil and gas. In fact, he's kind of talking about how much they've been compensated, how well oil and gas has been trying to redo his land, that sort of thing. But he'll be the first one to say that, you know what, not everybody gets a trophy in life, and I guess I didn't get one, but you know what, they're slowly giving me enough to give me a trophy.
Honestly, but he's the kind of man that I'd love to do an interview with. A funny thing happened out in to the NRDC, no, the Sierra Club. They've been trying to pour some more action on one of the pipelines out east, and they got to court, and as it turned out, they only had one person that they represented, right, because they don't have standing otherwise. That person had made a deal with the energy company, and they had nobody to defend. So they had to leave, you know, one of the appeals courts with their tails between their legs. But, you know, it really has almost become humorous if it wasn't so serious. You probably have heard about what's going on out in the West, but they have 17 and 18-year-old kids that they've talked into starting action against climate change. And they actually had a couple of judges, you know, in favor of these 17 and 18-year-old kids that are really just being propped up by the Sierra Club. Anyway, you were about to say.
Well, I was going to say, boy, that's training them at a pretty young age. Their hypothalamus isn't even developed at that point. We have Professor Stephen Hines on the line with us. We're talking, it's his weekly word. Now, we're a non-political program, and Professor Stephen Hines has been an energy columnist for a long time. And he, what might appear to be political talk is actually two people trying to have a conversation about policy. So what we're doing is we're layering in different parts of different areas so that we can hopefully get people critically thinking as opposed to focusing on sound bites. So we say we're non-political, we are non-political. And
that's true.
And so go ahead.
It's really hard to watch, these small groups who are obviously they're well organized. They've got a good, ground game, as you know, the Sierra Club and NRDC, and they have, reasonably innocent people who, you know, are just ordinary people, but somehow have bought into this, the sky is falling sort of syndrome from the large environmental groups, and it doesn't cast the average person in a very good light when they don't know anything about the subject.
I heard yesterday, I talked to somebody off the record who has a very substantial Facebook following, like 100,000 people, right? And an environmental group tried to buy it because their primary audience was oil and gas people, and the environmental group wanted to infiltrate it. The guy didn't sell it because it was an environmental group, but that points out that what I'm saying is that those types of tactics are now happening as we speak.
Well, yeah, you could say that the environmental groups have become more sophisticated, or it might just simply be they have a lot of money and they have a crusade that they're carrying on, following up what you were saying about a religious component to all of this. So it's you and I, I think that our job, along with Jim. Willis out at the Marcellus, who's been there for a long time. But I'm more interested in talking to the people of North Dakota. One, there's a lack of pretension in North Dakota. Two, there's a sense that's a small enough state that everybody more or less knows everybody, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. There's no collusion going on. It's just smart adult people talking together and doing a good job, which is, I wish Pennsylvania were so less confusing than it is right now.
And let's talk about Jim Willis for just a second out in the Marcellus. Good time to fold him in. We're going to be doing a little bit of a three-way powwow if it all works out next week. And so far, so good. But when you got three people involved with schedules, heck, it took us 5-10 calls and texts to get this thing arranged. So give us a little preview about Jim Willis and what we're going to be kind of discussing next week.
Okay, yeah. Well, Jim does a daily, really, I guess it's best, you know, it's a newspaper without the paper. But he does 6, 7, 8 stories that he picks up from the area, from Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York. And he adds his own commentary on top. But he doesn't mince words. You know, he's been doing energy, I want to say, for 25 years. And doing this, the Marcellus Daily News, which has to be a grind, every day. I think for over 7 years, but you can ask when we talk on Tuesday. I think we're all set for that. We're set for Tuesday with Jim. The other thing, but what we're going to really talk about, I think, mainly is what now that Nebraska has finally had enough political courage to pass the last leg of the Keystone, we're going to talk about what that will do to the movement against pipelines and in fact if it really will provide as much of a momentum as I think it will. Now, I would like to add on to the decision in Nebraska. We were just out in Baltimore last week, as you know, and the utility commissioners were there. And I have to say, there were several panel discussions on pipelines. But I thought it was a real act of courage by the three commissioners to go ahead and approve the pipeline after, you know, that little mess, and that's all about all it was. In South Dakota, but you know, to me, it showed some backbone there, and I think that's what the commissioners now and the FERC are starting to show is more backbone, and stop letting a small group of people affect them too negatively.
Stephen Hines, Professor Stephen Hines, with us, the Weekly Word, talking about an upcoming guest, Jim Willis, next week as part of the Weekly Word, talking a little bit more about the Keystone Pipeline, Nebraska, as well as South Dakota, and just the infrastructure in general. As we close this Weekly Word session, what any final thoughts? Anything we want to reiterate? Anything we missed? Anything you want to add?
You know, in all honesty, I think right now there's it feels like there's a momentum change right now in the United States. And it's one that you and I have been sort of hoping for quite some time, and I think Jim Willis has too. And that is that we are going to have decisions made on good politics, good economic development, and good environmentalism. And we aren't going to be frightened just because a few people show up at a press conference or whatever. And I take my hat off to you, by the way. Jason, you've done a fabulous job, and it's been fun working with you, and I look forward to doing it again.
For more information on Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, for his contact information. That's our website, thecrudelife.com, for links to Professor Stephen Hines' contact information. And that was Professor Stephen Hines with The Weekly Word.